The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
Wow, that's what it sounds like when you talk into the damn mic.
Little bit of harshness coming,
Lewis,
from Chris.
You know, Lewis, this thing moves, and if you really want to, you could move your chair over that way and face Sarah so you weren't doing this the whole time.
Sure. Or I could just go like this.
Yeah, you could do that too. That
yes,
works too.
Yes, do that. Do that.
All that works.
No, do that. For reals. I think it will help you.
Okay.
Okay.
So can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, then we're good.
No, I mean, but you could literally just sit like that. Stupid mic.
It totally took away your point there.
All right, so welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby.
Hello.
Once again, Miss Sarah is in the studio with us. And
I am here.
Miss Sarah January.
That's me.
Sarah January, there she goes.
You've got a fascination with my name today.
Yeah. Anyways. I was doing like the Miss America singer guy.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Anyways, Lewis, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
How has your week been?
It has been a chaotic week.
Dude.
New patients, new crisis, you know.
You...
All the stuff.
Arrogant mentories.
Those are the worst.
I know.
Teenage boys are always arrogant because they don't know that they can die yet.
Right. You have to show them.
Oh, no, that ended for me when I was like 14 and I saw... a trailer smash into a church bus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He has dry skin. And so he's like, you got any lotion? And you know what came to my mind,
It puts
right?
the lotion
it
in
did.
The basket.
The serial killer side of
it. It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again. He hasn't ever seen that movie, has he?
Probably not. He's too young.
What movie?
Silence of the Lambs? Oh, my God.
See, they don't even know who Hannibal Lecter is.
Dude.
I know who we're talking about. I just have never seen that movie by choice.
It's just because they only watch... When you get older, you will have seen it. And mm-hmm. you'll be like, holy crap, why did I waste my time on all those little teeny movies? Those things suck. That movie right. is demented. You need to watch it. It's messed up.
It'll make you thankful that you're dealing with a counselor like me.
Exactly.
No, it'll make you realize that...
Maybe I am a counselor like that.
Yeah, it'll make you realize that maybe he is a serial killer.
You have referred to Lewis as Hannibal Lecter several times on this show.
That's because he knows
indeed.
The true me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
yeah.
Indeed.
But I'm reserved serial killer. I don't serial kill yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't graduated up to Fruit Loops yet. They're not name brands.
Right.
He's not Frosted Mini Wheats. He's Frosted Mini Spooners material.
This is officially gone to the bad place.
Yes. Already.
All right, let's
3 minutes
so
in.
So quick.
3 minutes in, and we've
it's
already
okay,
lost.
Okay, because we're our only viewer.
Right?
Because it's not on my page.
Oh, that's right.
I don't care, Lewis.
We got to build this, Chris.
Hello?
I have faith in you.
Are you kidding me? You
You're
should
more
see
popular
the
than I am.
Yeah.
So build it.
No, more popular than you are in what? On my other radio station?
On everything.
I was about to say, you will never beat me on the... I just found out that I'm the number one afternoon DJ in
Nice!
In this
Go
area.
Go Chris Berzown!
Well, I say I just found out. I just found out that I'm the number one afternoon DJ again. Thank you. Thank you, me.
Hold on.
He's patting himself on the back, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm always... I'm usually
humble.
Number
He's just
one.
Playing.
Yeah.
He's humble, though.
It helps that I have such a great team behind me. And I'd like to thank all the little people I had to step on to get here.
Do you need something to hold on to?
Yeah, here we go.
There you go.
For those of you who can't, like, the people on Facebook can see me holding
you
the...
You got to get your pretty cry down, though.
Yeah. No, I only have an ugly
you
cry.
You need to work on that.
I only have an ugly cry. Okay. So.
Back to what we were doing. What were we doing?
Actually, we haven't even got to that yet. So, Sarah, if you would kindly point us
Rain
in the right
us
direction.
Back in. Okay. All right. Welcome to Eyes on Psych, everybody. Let's just start it all over. Okay. So, today, we're going to start talking about something that Lewis mentioned very briefly towards the end of the last show, the three brains and how to understand them. a little bit better. And everything here, I have no knowledge of this kind of stuff. I am giving all credit to a psychotherapist, Hillary Jacobs Hendel, who you can look up online. She has some great stuff. And the Psychotherapy Networker, which is a great publication.
Leave it to women to always be adding things on. First, they say that men think with two heads, and now they're saying three.
Yeah.
Not so far from the truth.
Really isn't. It really, really isn't. Anyway, let's delve right into this. So, when thinking about the general evolution of humans, we primarily compare ourselves to our chimp-like ancestors. But when we come to the specific evolution of the human brain itself, which gives us the power of thought, logic, imagination, empathy, morality, we must share skull space with the ancient brain of our ancestors.
Mm.
So, you know, those times when you have two thoughts and you're fighting instinct versus desire, or what you know you should do and what you want to do, et cetera.
Normal people have that? I just do it.
Normal people do that.
I have no filter. It's like that thing that I want to do. Yes.
Yeah. But the triune brain structure consists of three parts, and I'm going to defer to Lewis to help me during this part. The reptilian brain, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Wait, what? Really?
The reptilian. It's at its core.
Amygdala.
It's responsible for arousal, homeostasis, and reproduction. The amygdala is what it's called, Lewis? Uh-huh. Amygdala.
Oh, man.
That's your core.
I thought I was going to have some like cool superpower like reptile from Mortal Kombat. Anybody?
No,
nobody?
No.
Reptile wins. Flawless victory.
And then the second part is the paleomammalian.
Mammalian.
Ooh, or the, nicely done, Sarah.
Or the old mammal brain. Surrounding it is involved with learning, memory, and emotion.
Right. So, which helped us to evolve from being basically
chimpanzees.
Yes, into a caveman, a Neolithic caveman.
There you go. That's the step up. And then the neo-mammal brain required for conscious thought, self-awareness, and that sits atop the other two.
And it's also the prefrontal cortex.
Is there any debate or anything that, like, maybe dogs have the neo-mammalian front brain? Because a lot of people argue that animals aren't self-aware.
Well, when they look at themselves in a mirror, which is the first signs of self-awareness in a child, when animals look at themselves in the mirror, they think it's another dog. So that would be the definition of a lack of self-awareness.
Unless they get used to it.
Yeah, I was about to say. There have been studies.
There are some, like, my dog doesn't care about his reflection. He's like, what up? Cool. Looking good today.
So,
oh, yeah.
We can talk about this because this is a fascinating concept.
Definitely.
But actually, I was talking more along the neuroscience of the three brains. But this is good stuff, but it's all related to our primary brain.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay.
But the irony is we actually have three brains in our body, and it's not all on top of our head.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So we'll talk about that towards the end, but we'll get this part done because it's good.
Okay, sounds good.
If you don't talk into that mic,
I'm talking into the mic.
Put it on your face, man.
Okay, that was bad.
I'm the only one that uses this mic, so I can do that.
So beneath our newer equipment that we're talking about on top of our heads are structures driven by primitive instincts, unconscious impulses, and primordial fears, meaning primeval. American physician and neuroscientist Paul MacLean was the first to call this structure the triune brain. So that's his... He dubbed it that.
What is this triune brain again?
The three parts that we just discussed, the triune brain. He just dubbed it triune.
My attention span sucks.
I know. Based on the concept that the reptilian... It's really hard to say important words around these people. Reptilian, ancient mammalian, and modern human brains are attempting to coexist and cooperate. So they're talking about the friction between the different parts of your brain.
Which would cause the duality of man, perhaps? Well, shouldn't it be more than a duality? Shouldn't man, with that many different aspects, this should be like, well, three different directions you're being pulled in constantly.
Definitely different sets of priorities. Wouldn't you agree, Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess at most times two of them could coexist, but one of them's always being a butthole.
Right.
So basically, the interesting part of this conversation is, you know, psychiatrists say happy relationships make happy people, and perhaps the most important relationship you could possibly have is the one you have with yourself.
I just want to say that the relationship with myself is very good.
We have to go there. We had to go there.
It did.
Jeez.
Oh, goodness.
We had to. So, ergo, in fact, the better the relationship we have with ourselves, the better we feel, the easier life is, and the better relationships we have with others. So on that note, why is it so important for us to understand our brains, Lewis? And is this a part of being mindful? And if so, how?
Well, as I've spoken many times before, being mindful of everything as much as you can. You don't want to over-obsess, of course.
Obviously.
But being mindful of the basics, the understanding of how your brain works, where your thinking comes from, the survival instincts. If your mammalian, your old mammalian brain or the reptilian brain, which is the amygdala, get triggered, there's something wrong in your environment. You need to be alert. You need to be aware of such things. So, of course, it's good to know, not to second-guess your brain.
Definitely. So. Yeah, being intentional and aware is definitely important. So when we, just talking about our own inner thoughts about ourselves, when we judge ourselves harshly, we tend to judge others harshly as well. I mean, Chris, when you're in a bad mood about yourself, do you find yourself being harsher on other people?
I'm harsh on other people constantly because I'm always harsh on myself.
Exactly. It's a part of your personality, I've been told.
You've been told?
I've been told.
No, I think a lot of that comes from my father. My father was always very hard on me and very had very high standards for me. So, and you know what they say, that the way that you speak to your children becomes their inner voice. So, yeah, that's I'm like, all right, stop being an idiot. I literally say that to myself. Like, oh, really? Oh, you're going to feel bad for yourself now, are you? Oh, is that what we're doing now?
All these years I've given you for free time trying to build up your self-esteem, and you're going to be calling yourself an idiot behind my back?
You need Lewis's voice in your head, Chris.
Here's the thing, is I knew my dad didn't think I was an idiot, and I know I don't think I'm an idiot. It's just, it's stop being an idiot.
Just cut it out.
Yeah.
Just cut it out.
Cut it out.
Full house, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That reference I actually got, finally. Okay, so with the simple knowledge about how the brain and the mind works, we cannot help but think and feel about others and ourselves in a new and different light. So that's kind of why this is important to discuss.
Are you pretty harsh on yourself, Sarah?
I would say yes. I would say I'm pretty harsh on myself.
Well, me and Sarah were actually having a discussion, was it yesterday, about being content.
We were having that discussion.
And
was yesterday.
It dawned on me that you probably are pretty harsh on yourself because you're an accomplished person. Most accomplished people are accomplished because they're rarely content. Would you agree with that, Lewis?
I do.
That makes sense.
Now, I'm one of the least content people you'll meet, but I don't think I'm that accomplished.
Maybe you're not
yet.
The right person to ask this, but how does somebody who is constantly trying to accomplish something steal away a few extra moments of contentment, you know, because I really have an issue with it.
You get outside of yourself, out of your own way. You do things for others. You have gratitude.
Drink. Perfect.
There we go.
He's always looking for the simple solution.
Real simple.
Just like some of my mentorees asking, is it okay to drink a few beers? No, it's not.
Not okay.
Not okay. Developed.
Here is Facebook.
If you drink beers, the terrorists win.
All right.
You know who else has hands?
Ah, I'm always being interrupted.
Phone call.
The devil has hands, and he uses them for holding beers.
Those are the idle hands we talk about.
The L hands.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, as far as how we see ourselves and things like that, so what does learning about the brain give us, Lewis? There's a list of things for us to talk about.
All right, like the power to work on our thoughts. If you understand how your brain works, then you have the power to contemplate how to work backwards and deconstruct your thoughts and to understand where you're coming from, evolutionary-wise, biologically, and spiritually, because of the neo-mammalian.
With that said, Lewis, do you think that you're pretty good at that, personally, for yourself?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I know you would think so because that's what I do for everyone else. I just don't focus on myself like I should. I know I don't.
Well, see, I'm narcissistic, so.
You would believe some people that have known me a long time ago think I'm narcissistic, or they think.
No, I wouldn't. When you were younger, yeah, I think that you were intelligent and very, very aware of it and very proud of it.
And manipulative, and, that would be a good term.
Not so much.
Gradually, you grew out of it.
I think. Right. And I think that's really for men. I don't know how it is for women, Sarah, but for men, teenage boys are like, "Oh, I'm strong all of a sudden. Oh, I must be the greatest thing ever." And like men inherently, when they go through their teen years, get cocky because they're bigger than they've ever been. They're stronger. They have more confidence. Their bodies can do things that they couldn't have done before. And
that change brings about a shoot of confidence.
Yeah, and it's a
lot of things.
It's sometimes
bad
overconfidence. Because in reality, I mean, a well-built, 16 to 18-year-old boy is going to have a really hard time keeping up with a, average built 30-year-old man, because 30-year-old men are just stronger. I mean, but because you're stronger than you've ever been at that age, you tend to get cocky. And I think that that's what it is with most males. Like when me and you were both younger, we were extremely cocky. And I think all males go through that, especially if, they're normal.
I think that for women, it's actually the exact opposite. And it would be really good if men had a little bit less and women got a little bit more of that when they go through those changes. Because I think puberty does have a lot to do with it. When women go through changes, it makes us excessively self-conscious, anxious, makes us think what other people think about us constantly. We're constantly pulling ourselves apart and putting us back together again, trying to make us fit into whatever realm we need to fit into.
You know what the funniest part about everything you're saying is?
What?
If women actually knew what men were thinking about them, they would be as cocky as men are.
We really would. I know that.
So the second one was ability to accept and channel emotions wisely.
That's very important.
I think that that's part of the brilliance and the beauty of our brain evolving over time. With the neo-mammalian brain, we are able to think more spiritually, more holistically than what our predecessors were. We are able to think more outside the box, be creative and whatnot. The problem with especially adolescent males is they're pretty much in their reptilian brain because of the developmental stage that they're in.
Exactly.
Which is hormones, increasing of that, everything else. So they're like, oh, me, He-Man. Well, you're really not. You're going to die if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
They don't listen to you.
I mean, at some point in your life, you are going to start getting weaker, and it's, probably in your late 30s as a male.
And then you have to go in your brain.
And, yeah, exactly.
If you haven't destroyed it when you were 16 trying to drink all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, because when is your brain technically as a man?
25.
25?
I knew it was older for men. It's 24 for girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, honestly, I can remember back when I was 25, that's almost a difference between night and day. I wasn't nearly as stable as I am now, but at 25 was when I was like, okay, this isn't cutting it anymore. All this partying
work.
And I want more than that,
Right.
And it was about 25, so that makes sense.
That does make sense. And when you live your life off of emotion without thinking it through, just letting emotion run your life, whatever your desires are, I mean, it ends up for a pretty miserable life, just like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about the lies that come with burying your insecurities. A lot of people say or feel that, if you just ignore it long enough, it'll go away. If you just, pretend like it doesn't exist, whatever that insecurity might be, or hide it as best as you can from other people. That's the important part.
Tell that to Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's a good point. A really morbid point, but a good point.
It's a very good example and very extreme example of what can actually happen when you bury your insecurities.
Yeah, it's definitely self-deprecating, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Being aware of the ways we further our own distress, shoot ourselves in our own foot, which I'm pretty sure Chris can identify with this.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that.
Gives us the opportunity to stop our brain from going to those automatic places that make us feel worse about ourselves. I mean, in essence, this type of brain work gives us the power and control over our minds as we honor and accept ourselves fully. So even though some people say you don't want to get too cocky, don't be too vain, thinking of yourself in a positive light is good for you. And I think that it's detrimental not to think of yourself well, at least just well.
Well, I saw a very interesting experiment one time where they experimented the effects of words on molecules of water. Mm-hmm. And, when you said positive things, the molecules of water were very clear. When you said negative things, like, I want to kill you and I hate you, it became more cloudy. It makes a difference on water. And if other people's words can have can make that big of a difference on just a molecule of water, think about what your own thoughts can have on yourself, considering our bodies are made of 70% water.
Especially because of that. Especially things you say to yourself over and over and over again. I mean, you can tear yourself down, literally.
Yeah, so. What you think and say to yourself, like when I said, I'm calling myself an idiot, it may not be a good thing for me to do that because, I mean, I don't think I'm causing myself any harm. However, I am giving my body a negative reinforcement.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, that's probably a habit I should break.
That's a good habit to break. That's very, very true. Most of us live day to day by blocking aspects of ourselves, you know, the parts that we don't really like, and especially those that cause us pain or conflict. But we all know that blocking, defending, or burying things inside leads to symptoms, psychological pain, and avoidance of life experiences that might otherwise build confidence or progress in some way, shape, or form. I'm sure Lewis has seen countless examples of this in his work, where if you cut yourself off to things that are difficult, even if it's personal things, just personal, good, positive thoughts, you actually will be hurting the progress you could have made.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of people do that. I think here in the United States, especially on social media, you see a ton of that.
Oh, yeah.
Lewis, your opinion?
Self-deprecation is never healthy. You don't have to focus on your weaknesses. You need to focus on your strengths. Yeah. A lot of stats have proven that if one focuses on their strengths, weaknesses are weaknesses for a reason. We're not all good at everything. We don't all need We don't all need the bronze medal that we didn't deserve. We need to focus on what our strengths are, because the strengths are our strengths for a reason.
Yeah. So you're you for a reason. Like you, dang it.
Right. Accept yourself. And stop the self-deprecation. We're not all the same. We're not similar. Oh, we all get along, and we're all intelligent, but we're not similar in this room.
Yeah. Not really, no.
But no.
That's a good thing.
Not even a little bit.
And that's probably what makes us more interesting, because we all have different viewpoints, but we're all logical and intelligent enough to respect each other's viewpoints.
Yeah. Exactly.
But differences are good, guys. Don't focus on your negativities. Don't focus on your weaknesses. They're not relevant. It's the strengths that will build you and bring you a further future.
Focus on strengths.
Or you could lie to yourself, which is I find is very effective.
Well, there is that old saying, fake it till you make it.
I have found that I am the world's greatest lover, if speed's important to a woman.
If speed is important. It's so horrible to yourself.
Oh, God.
I think that also...
We should get Tommy guest on here. This would be fun.
Not to be, to embarrass you, though, Chris... Lots of women used to tell me things about you.
Oh, God. Please don't elaborate.
Yeah.
Please don't elaborate. I'm begging you.
I won't.
Mental pictures I don't need.
They would compliment you, Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Well.
But it wasn't about your speed or anything like that.
Can we move on? Can we move on, please?
I had to embarrass him. Now he's blue like the mic. All right.
So, questions for Lewis. Why is it so dangerous to believe that a feeling, thought, insecurity will go away if we just ignore it?
Nothing goes away if you just ignore it. In fact, trying to ignore something is likely to increase the probability of that thought coming up and replaying and replaying and replaying, which could lead to you being devastated by that thought. You need to address it, look at it, be logical, move forward. Address it, look at it, be logical, move forward. Address it, look at it, be logical, move forward.
Say that over and over again in your head.
What?
I was dressing. You got to be logical. Move forward.
I think you hypnotized me. That's all I was hearing.
Now put the lotion on your skin.
Or else it gets the hose again.
What's so horrible? Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So the knowledge of the three brains and ourselves help us ensure we don't worsen our problems by reinforcing negative beliefs and worries, by replaying them over and over again in our mind, like we've talked about. And this strengthens the wiring of those negative brain cell networks and makes us feel worse. Just like you talked about, the water reacts and actually changes due to what is spoken to it over and over again.
Well, and on a physical, from a physical standpoint, the way that your brain works is when you have a certain emotion, basically all an emotion is a chemical being released in your brain.
Exactly.
If you release that chemical in the brain, no matter what emotion it is, if it's happiness or anger, your brain has to have a way to absorb that chemical, and it will develop more receptors for that chemical to absorb. Now, what happens is because your brain has more receptors, you have to feel that feeling more often. You literally become addicted to the chemical associated with happiness or the chemical associated with anger. And if you don't feed those receptors, that just like any other addiction, those receptors basically start having fits, and you have to, it makes your body seek out that chemical.
And the way that the neurons form, the more you do something, the more of a habit it becomes, the stronger that neuronal connection. So actually, your random thought patterns are more likely to follow down the path of whatever is the most common so that you don't use as much glucose. So if you are more depressed or more angry or more dismissive towards yourself or whatever, those feelings will start flowing down that path a lot easier. You have to deconstruct that.
Well, and that's why normal people usually don't have they have long spurts of happiness, and you know they go up and down, you know, and then when you're depressed, it's hard to kind of get out of it because it's not a sudden process unless you're bipolar. Then it's boom.
Oh yeah.
So I think we probably don't have too much more time. So I was going to make an interesting talk about the three brains.
Yes, please do expand on that.
Okay, so the three brains that I was referring to, and we can definitely do another one on this one, would be your first brain, which is on top of your head. Your second brain, which is your gut. Most people don't know that your gut is a second brain. It has just as many neurons as a dog's brain. So it's highly intelligent in and of itself. And your third one's kind
that
of
would
creepy.
Explain why
your third one is symbiotic. It's not
symbiotic.
Doesn't belong to you.
Wait, what?
Your third brain is actually microbes that are in your gut.
I don't want that.
Chris has such a confused look on his face right now.
If you didn't have the microbes, you could not digest and you would die.
So that's all right. I'm taking them with me.
Okay. That's the point. Now, that's why. Okay, so good point. If you do not feed them adequately or you're constantly eating junk food or things of that nature, they release chemicals that make you depressed.
Wow.
Those chemicals.
Wait, is that why people sometimes, well, they have an eating problem. They eat when they're depressed?
Well, that's cortisol. But, of course, yeah. When you're depressed, you're putting damage on the body. You're doing things like that. So carbs and things like that, of course, are quick energy for the microbes. They're easy to digest. The microbes eat them.
So the microbes like them.
Right. So the microbes are different than us, though.
Interesting.
So basically you're saying these microbes are little bastards.
They have a lot of control over us.
Interesting.
Our chemicals. How we choose to accept those chemicals and work with them are our choice. How we choose to feed those microbes are our choice.
Isn't free will grand?
It doesn't exist.
Exactly. That's kind of where I was going.
Interesting.
I mean, it exists as far as a religious perspective, but I'm sorry. We have symbiotic.
Actually,
we're part
of
our environment.
Never mind. Don't get me on free will and religious
things. But here's
things.
Another fascinating thing. If you look at the microbes for what they are and how many billions there are in your gut, you're actually your own universe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. Your own colonies, your own everything. So I'll be like, ho ho, I will control you. And then you give it a donut or I'm fixing to go get churros.
It's like the two guys
that's
walking with each
satanic.
Other.
That's actually very satanic. You what? Are the god of your own universe.
That is satanic, actually.
Kind of. But
I'm glad that you understand the definition of satanic,
though.
You explained this to me not too long ago.
Oh, okay. Well, that would explain.
Otherwise, I would not.
Not to get religious on y'all, but it does say in the Bible that we are gods.
Your mom says it.
Psalms 81. You are gods, and you will die like mere men. But you shall inherit the earth, the wicked say, blah, 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 blah.
Huh.
I'm highly religious. I don't know if most people know that either. You probably did know that.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyhow, three brains, guys. So it's really important to understand that your gut and the microbes have a big part to do with you. One thing that we found in science that really works for psychology and for controlling yourself are probiotics, guys. So I'm a big firm believer. Why do you think I keep my phone's dead?
Oh, no. I love probiotics. They're good for my dog, too. Right. She has stomach issues.
You know, we can actually talk about this next time.
Sounds good.
Now we're out.
All right.
We ain't got no time.
No time left.
But no, that would be a good subject for next time.
Absolutely.
So join us next time on Eyes on Psych, and we'll talk about all the things living inside of you. That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week, where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.